The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, at 41 Cross Street, right across from the North Shore Mall, on the second floor of the building where Alto Forno now sits. If you haven't been over to Alto Forno, it's a fabulous northern-styled Italian restaurant with a little bit of a Mediterranean and Greek influence. Be sure to swing by, say hello to Ernesto, the manager over there, or any of the folks that work there. It is a real class operation, and we love being part of that family. I am here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And before we go any further, Tony, don't forget it's your brother's birthday today, so be sure you pick up the phone and call him. Tony's my producer, and he always keeps me on track, so I wanted to make sure that, you know, as his day gets away from him, that it is his brother's birthday today, so be sure you give the guy a call. You know, so don't forget about that. So, hey, I want to tell you, I got a lot of things to talk about today, but something I'm going to do during this first segment, a little bit off balance here a little bit. Something that I normally don't talk about, but it is one of my passions. It's one of the things that I love to talk about, and I could sit for hours engaging with people in this conversation. And you know what the conversation is about? Disney World. I just got back from a trip. It's my 41st visit to the Disney World parks. I love it there. I was talking to my kids this past week. We were there during February school vacation. I believe that I've basically spent 1 year of my life at a Disney park. Think about that. I've been there 41 times, usually there anywhere from 5 to 10 days at a time. You do the math, and it comes out to a lot of days, and that's almost a year's worth of my life, and I'm 51 years old, that I've spent at the Disney parks. I would consider myself an expert on giving people advice and getting around the park on how to use the system, how to be part and get a major experience about it. But I thought I'd share a few things with you. Some things that people don't think about, because we are talking about financial advice in a language you can understand, and most people will think, oh my God, Disney, that is ridiculously expensive. Well, I got to tell you, I went down there. Granted, when you go down with five kids, and my kids are 14 to 21, yes, believe it or not, they love Disney as much as I do, as does my wife. And they wanted to go. We all just enjoy our times together, and each time you go to Disney, whether you've gone as a grandparent with little kids, whether you've gone with a parent with a little child, with kids in their single-digit ages, whether it's in their teens, you need to know that each time you go to Disney World, it's a different experience. It really is. It's not about... You ask people... You ask somebody who has plans to go to Disney World. You ask a kid, any kid who tells you they're going to Disney World, what is it that you want to do when you go to Disney World? And they'll tell you right off the bat, they're looking forward to going on a particular ride. There's something in mind, a ride. Maybe it's the new Pandora ride at Animal Kingdom. Maybe it's Toy Story at Hollywood Studios. Maybe it's the the Dwarf's Mine Train ride at Magic Kingdom. Or perhaps it's the Frozen ride at Epcot. They're all thinking of a ride. But then what you do is when they get home, ask them, what is it that they remember most about Disney? And you know what they will not tell you about is a ride. They won't. Isn't it interesting that they will all, and even you as an adult, you'll think to yourself, man, you know, I might be thinking about a certain thing to do at Disney, what I want to do. And when you get home, what you will remember, what you will talk about will not be a ride. It'll be about the experience. As an adult, I come back from Disney now and I say to myself, isn't it amazing how big the machine is at Disney and how well-oiled it is? seems to work. Every day at a Disney park, and I was there this past February school vacation week, during the mid part of the week, Hollywood Studios had 50,000 people pass through the gates. How do I know that? Well, sometimes when I go to buy stuff at the concessions or one of the food places, the employees have a bunch of information charts that sit right next to the register. And at the very bottom of that sheet, it oftentimes talks about expected attendance for the day. Okay, so you can get a sense as to how many people are going to pass through the park. Well, Magic Kingdom, of course, has the largest draw right now, with close to 100,000 people that will pass through the park that day. That was this past February vacation. And Hollywood Studios was going to have 50,000. Animal Kingdom seems to be right now running number two with their new rides, the Pandora ride that they have over there, which was amazing. And they have close to 80,000 people that will pass through there. Epcot, another 50 to 60,000 people that will pass through there. Think about that. Think about having to manage that number of people, that number of different languages, that number of different sizes and shapes of people, people coming in strollers and all different types of disabilities that come through that park. And every single person walks out of there with the same sense that, oh my God, this is the happiest place on earth. It's really fascinating when you think about how Disney is able to create an experience for close to 500,000 people every day, every other day, whatever it is, millions of people every week. And sometimes you walk into your local sub shop and you can't even get the guy to look up and say, hello, how you doing? I want you to think about when you're out looking for the service experience, because that's what we've grown up to these days, is this service culture. We're now willing to pay a price for service. But one of the things that I've learned that many people have grown accustomed to is we're paying for mediocrity. When's the last time you went to a place where you paid a lot of money or paid a premium price and you said, oh my God, that was amazing service? Many of the things that we do, we pay a service for and we get mediocre service. Why have we accepted that? You go to Disney and you see what exceptional service is from the moment you enter your hotel to the willingness to make your experience exceptional, both at the park, on the bus, on the tram, at the entrance to the ticket gate, during when you go through a security check, at every spot on every ride, during every meal you have, at every concession that you're about to buy something. Every experience is unique. And that costs money. You pay for experiences. And well, you know, many people will say Disney is what an expensive place to go to. I actually think from a value for your dollar, it may be one of the cheapest places you'll ever visit. Believe it or not, imagine this. You'll pay right now to go to one-day ticket at Disney for an adult. It's around $125. Most people don't go for one day. They usually go for, say, 4 or 5. So if you go for 4 days, the ticket is $400. Call it $100 a day. Now, the park opens at 8 o'clock in the morning and closes at 11 o'clock at night. Where can you go to have an experience of almost 15 hours of happiness, music, entertainment, rides, colors, interaction with people for $100? Think what people spend to go to see a Broadway show. And, you know, Broadway shows are great, but they have a finite period of time. A Broadway show is you're sitting in a seat. You're paying for a seat for a couple hours. And you're usually not paying $100 for a Broadway show anymore. Usually it's closer to $2. You walk into Disney World for $100, and yeah, the food costs money, and I think the concessions are actually reasonably priced these days. I mean, all things considered. But the number of free shows that are going on at Disney, along with, of course, the rides and everything else, is amazing. One of the things that I learned this year, my kids actually had a greater appreciation of. My kids have gone to Disney thousands of times. Not thousands. Many times, I should say. They're sure there's some rides they like to do, but this year they were all about, isn't that amazing how that works, or I wonder how they made that. Each time your kid goes through, your children go to Disney World, it's a different experience. For instance, when your children, if you have plans to take your kids to Disney and they're under the age of 7. You know what they want to do? This is what you need to be sure you do. You can't force them through the park. You can't keep them in lines and wait for an hour to an hour and a half and just say, oh, this ride's going to be great, this ride's going to be great, this ride's going to be great. No, you can't do that. They will drive you absolutely insane, and you will grow insane. Some of the things my kids love to do is we sit on a bench and we watch parents yell at their kids in the happiest place on earth because they planned improperly. If you've got kids that are like 7 and under or so, here's what they want to do. A few things. Number one, they want to meet the characters. That's what they want to do. They will love to meet with the characters. Yes, sometimes they'll be scared, but the best way to get them used to meeting the characters first is to let them watch a parade. You put them on Main Street, and you let them see that all of these characters can come up and down the streets, and they do the parade. And then you watch some of the open-air shows that they do. They do a show in front of Magic Kingdom, right in front of Cinderella's Castle. Let them watch that. Get them a good seat for it. Do that. Get too used to seeing the characters. Then perhaps go to a character meal so that the characters are going around and the kids can get used to getting prepared to be approached by a character because they'll see them sitting and talking to other people at different tables. And then you do your character greeting. If you do the character greeting first, you are running into disaster and you're going to get frustrated by all of the other people whose kids are going to be petrified and screaming and the kids are pushing the kid toward the character. Go ahead, take a picture with Mickey Mouse. Take a picture with Mickey Mouse. And the kid's like screaming like crazy. And people are like, what kind of parent is this that's forcing their kid? I'm telling you, you got to do this right. Pick the easy rides for your kids. Don't force them to do something that they're just going to be miserable with. You know, yes, I know that most Disney rides are not scary. They're really not. There's a couple of them that can be slightly scary. But if you're taking your kids under the age of 8, just do the fun rides. You don't have to do the rides that have them standing in line for the longest period of time. Make it simple. Make it enjoyable. Yes, I really consider myself an expert around Disney World in trying to help you get the most value out of your money if you're ever going to go. Now, I'm not talking about bringing in your own lunch and budgeting the whole thing. But if you want to make the maximum experience out of Disney, there's a lot of books out there, but my clients know that if you're a client of the office, you have access to my knowledge base of Disney. So if that's something that might push you over the edge to say, hey, now's the time to get serious about my personal finances. Now's the time to get really serious about getting that money to work, to finding the right strategy. Just met with someone this morning who had accounts scattered all over the place. And all they're looking for at age 60 is to say, you know what? I need to find someone who takes this seriously. If now's the time to do that, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you just simply want to get connected to the office or get connected to more of these little tidbits of information, I encourage you to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page of the website and just sign up for my newsletter. It'll be that simple. You'll be registered. And hey, if you have any questions for me, you want to put something in the notes, maybe you like Disney, whatever it might be, I'm happy to help you. And like I said, our clients know that there is an enormous knowledge base available to them at our office. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to leave Mickey Mouse Land and we're going to start talking about how big of a non-event the past 3 or 4 weeks have been with this market drop. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Introducing Mercedes-Benz VanPower. Now you can get up to 2 years of complimentary scheduled maintenance on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris van, starting at just $25,995. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Currently offering 0.9% financing.
Visit Flagship Motor Cars of Linfield on Route 1 North or online at flagshipmotorcars.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents. Heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. What's your plan? Do you guys set up a, do you plan for yourself, have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, a 30-year plan? You know, most people don't. They say, I plan to lose weight, or I plan to start eating healthier. But where do I want to be 5 years or 10 years or 20 years from now? What if you own a small business? What if you own a small business? Do you set to yourself, well, in 5 years I want to be here, in 10 years I want to be here. Is it personal or is it for the business? Well, folks, I just got back from Disney World. And yeah, I've been talking, I love Disney. I've been there, it was my 41st time to visit the Disney parks. I've been to all of the parks all around the world, with the exception of the one in Shanghai. I've been to Hong Kong, I've been to Japan, I've been to the new Disney Hotel in Hawaii, I've been to Disney Paris, I've been to Disneyland, I've been to California Adventure, I've been to all the parks all over Disney World in Florida. I'm a big Disney buff, I'm a big Disney Vacation Club member, all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I learned something very interesting. There is a ton of construction and building going on down in Florida. You know, right now, in the whole Disney parks right now, they are adding a whole Star Wars world. Did you know that? Whole Star Wars world being added to Hollywood Studios. In addition to that, they're opening up a new Toy Story Land. That's going to open up June of this year. In addition to that, over in, over in Epcot, they're opening a Guardians of the Galaxy ride over where the University of Energy used to be. Over where the Chinese theater is at Hollywood Studios, they're making that a Mickey and Minnie red carpet ride. There's all sorts of rides that are going up. But on top of that, you should see what else is going up. There are hotels going up. There's going to be a hotel. There's going to be a Star Wars hotel attached to the back of Hollywood Studios, where you will have a Hollywood, you will have a Star Wars experience, and you'll be able to enter Epcot through the Star Wars hotel right into Epcot. You'll also have a new hotel that's going up called the Riviera. There is a new hotel going up in the front of Epcot. The name for it isn't quite there yet, but you'll be able to walk into Epcot as well. I'm sorry, when you're in the Star Wars hotel, you'll be walking into Hollywood Studios, not into Epcot. There's a new tram that's being built, like these gondolas that you see for the ski lifts. They're building these all over the park, so not only will you have the monorails and the bus system and everything else, all of that stuff's going to connect. And all of this is working all at the same time. And I'm asking the Uber driver, and yes, I took Uber to get around the park. It was a lot easier. I asked him, what's going on here? He says, everything's getting ready for 2021. Disney has a plan. They have a 5-year plan, a 15-year plan, a 30-year plan of what they want the vision of this park to look like. In 2021, Walt Disney World, down in Florida, will celebrate its 50th anniversary. 50th birthday, and they're gearing up for all of that. So if you haven't been to Disney in a long time, I encourage you, hop on a plane, hop in your car if you want. I don't care how you get there, but get there if you can. Take your kids. Now, these are the experiences that I tell grandparents to spend with their children. You know, you want to leave money to the kids, that's great. The kids are going to blow it. I'm just telling you. I see it happen all the time. They're not going to blow all of it. Well, some of them might. But if you want to really build that relationship that perhaps has gotten away from you with your children or with your grandchildren, planning a trip to Disney World is an amazing, amazing experience if you do it right. Some people overschedule, overplan. You can't do that on a Disney vacation. You have to relax a little, let the chips fall where they may, and just do it. It'll cost you a little bit of money, but I'm going to tell you, that money will be priceless. I encourage you to do that. All right, but let's talk about this market a little bit. You know, a few weeks ago, I had Marion in here because the market had been crazy. I don't know if you remember. We had one day that we were following the market. It was up 300, down 200, up 400, down 700. It was back and forth, and it dropped almost 3,000 points over the course of two or three, maybe a week. Maybe two or three days, maybe a week. It was what it was. The market was as high as 26,000 on the Dow. It dropped somewhere to 23. And people wondered, is now the time? Could it go lower? We knew this was all going to fall apart. That's not what we were saying at all. Marion and I had said, look, we have to have these periods of time where the market pulls back a little. In fact, the market pulled back almost 10%. It was considered a correction, not a bear market, a correction. Corrections are very normal. But what's really interesting is, had you fallen asleep for the entire month of February and you looked at your statement from January 31st to February 28th, you'll realize that your account isn't down all that much. But if you look at it every day on your PDA or your cell phone or whatever it is that you choose to check your values, you're getting a little concerned. You're thinking, should I get in? Should I get out? Should I get in? What's going on? Is this the right time? Folks, you cannot, absolutely cannot track your portfolio on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute basis. It's not going to work for you. You will drive yourself insane. But some people get addicted, just like many of us get addicted to Facebook. Got to check my Facebook status. Got to check my Instagram status. Got to check my Snapchat. Well, your kids are. You realize, by the way, little secret for you. If you think following your kids on Facebook is the right thing to do, they'll be happy to give you their username and password, because mom and dad, they ain't on it anymore. Your kids are going on Snapchat, Instagram, and several others that I probably don't even know about yet. Your kids both, if they have Instagram, by the way, they also have something called a Finsta. You know what Instagram and Finsta are? Well, here's the truth. And when I was talking, I was at Salem High School. I was talking to some kids there, and I asked them if they had Instagram, and they all shook their head. Of course they do. I said, how many of you have a Finsta? And they all looked around, and they were like, how does he know about Finsta? Folks, what a Finsta is a fake, what they call a fake Instagram page. So what Insta is, or a Rinsta, a real Instagram page, that's the Instagram page that your kids will happily give you access to so that you can follow them. What they don't give you access to is their Finsta, which is a fake, they call it fake, Instagram account. That's the one where they say, do, appear, showcase, whatever it is that they want to do without you seeing it. That is until someone snaps a picture of it and posts it on social media, and then you begin to find out about Finsta. See, you never know what kind of advice you're going to get on Dollars and Cents. It's both financial advice in a language you can understand and some parental guidance along the way. But, you know, here's, some, like I said, this whole month-to-month swing in the markets is, you gotta stop looking at it from a day-to-day thing. I mean, first of all, we were looking at almost, I don't know how many months it was. It might have been 30 months where the market at point-to-point was up every single month. We're going to see a month-to-month, January to February, which is not going to be down anywhere near what it was around February 10th, February 6th. We went through a whole month. If you really go ahead, go to finance.yahoo.com. Some people call it Yahoo Finance. But if you type in finance.yahoo.com and type in, or just click on the Dow Jones, the chart there for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and just look at it on a one-month basis, you will be amazed at how volatile the market was in the early part of February, where it just plummeted. Plummeted, strong word. But then when the market went down, and how it's recouped its value in just a few days. It is unbelievable how quickly things can change in this market. That's why I always say, I ask people, do you think the market is going to be higher or lower 6 months from now? And I think people will have an opinion, but the truth is nobody knows. I don't know what it's going to be 6 months from now. How about a year from now? Still don't know what it's going to be. Could it be higher or lower? Well, where it's sitting at an all-time high, I'd almost believe it could even be lower than where it is right now. How about 5 years from now? You think it'll be higher or lower 5 years from now? Well, now I'm starting to gain a little bit more confidence. I'm thinking it's probably going to be higher than it was 5 years ago. I think that's a fair assessment. It might not always happen, but I think the further out you go, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, will it be higher? I think there's an improved level of confidence. In fact, history would suggest that to us, though, of course, history can't be a predictor of future advice. I tell you this story because oftentimes people will come to me and they'll say, Mark, I'm thinking about buying a house in about 6 months. I've saved up about $100,000. It's sitting in the bank, and I'd like to get a little bit more on my money so that when it's time to use the money for the house in 6 or 8 months, it'll be worth a little bit more. And my advice to them is keep it in the bank. They said, but it's earning nothing, Mark, in the bank. I said, would you prefer it to be worth less? I can't guarantee an uptick in your investment account in 6 or 8 months. In fact, I can't guarantee anything. But a bank CD can make you some promises of short-term money, but what if you need it in the interim? What if you need it in 3 months, a good deal comes about? Maybe there's a penalty, maybe there's fees to pay. Folks, what are you talking about here? What are you really going to get? If you had $100,000 saved and the bank was offering you 1%, that means that you would make $1,000 over a 12-month period as long as you didn't add to the account or take money out. But you said I need it in 6 months, so that's $500. And if somebody's willing to offer you 0.5%, 0.5%, where you can have access to the money anytime you want, yeah, you might only get half of the money you were going to get, but at least you have access to it any day of the week. If you have to buy a CD or something that has a fixed maturity date, there may be costs to get out early. But one of the things that I don't like people doing is using their investment account as their emergency fund. More than anything else, and I advise people on this all the time, take a look at what your monthly expenses are. If you don't know what they are, let me make this really easy for you. Pull out your bank statement, the one where you pay your bills. And if there's more than one bank statement that you pay the bills, pull all of them out. But let's assume you use one bank account. Pull out the last 6 months now of bank statements. Add up those numbers. Add up on the very top. It says total withdrawals. Add up the total withdrawal numbers. So there's six numbers. Add them up. Divide by six. Here's the average amount of money that you spend. And you'll say, oh, wait. There was a wedding this year. Oh, I had a prom to deal with. We went on a vacation. The boiler blew. I had to come up with it. Folks, what do you think? That none of that stuff's going to happen again in the future? What's the average? Whatever that number is, whatever that average monthly amount is, I want you to multiply that number times three, and then again times, or multiply it times three at least, and ask yourself, do you have that much money sitting in a bank account that is not invested, that is not in your 401k, that is not in an annuity or a cash value of a life insurance policy or a trust account, a trust investment account? Do you just have that amount of money in the bank? And if the answer is no, then I want you to do something that might seem very, very out of the ordinary. If you're contributing to your 401k plan, I want you to stop. If you're adding money on a monthly basis to an investment program, I want you to stop. And I want you to redirect that money to your bank account. Set up a savings account if you want, so you don't feel like you'll have to touch the money. Have it separate from your checking account. But I want you to have at least 3 months, maybe even 6 months. Find a comfortable number. But that three-month number is the amount that value will never, ever get below. So push it to 4, 5, 6 months. You want that. Then go ahead and resume. Now, once you have your emergency fund, as you're building this emergency fund, I also want you to ask you one other question. Do you have debt? Do you have credit card debt? Well, now, if you have credit card debt and you're participating in your 401k plan and you don't have any money in the bank, now what should you do? I'm going to tell you the solution to that question when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Bill Haney has announced the 2018 season at North Shore Music Theater, and Mamma Mia, you won't want to miss a show.
Mamma Mia, here I go again.
Every day will be a holiday when we kick off the season with everyone's favorite auntie.
We think you're just sensational, Maine.
She's funny, she's glamorous, she's Maine. With a sprinkle of pixie dust, you and your family will fly past the second star in the musical adventures of Peter Pan. Then get ready to have the time of your life at Mamma Mia.
You are the dancing queen.
Musical phenomenon featuring ABBA's greatest hits that will have you coming back again and again. Then you will be haunted by the dark gothic thriller Jekyll and Hyde. And you can't stop the beat when we end this blockbuster season with the smash hit feel-good musical, Hairspray. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are we doing today? I think I was putting myself to sleep during that last soliloquy that I did in the second segment. So I'm going to wake it up a little bit. We're going to add a little bit of enthusiasm to what's going on here. It is about 8:30-ish or so. I don't have a clock in here, but I'm going to go. Since we're in segment three, we're around that time. Don't hold me to it, but I know it's around that time. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. It is March 4th. Hard to believe that it is March 4th because that means your taxes are due in a few weeks. So let's talk about taxes for a minute. I know that I left you on a cliffhanger on the last thing. We're going to get there. So a lot of people got these 1099s. A 1099 is what you get from an investment company when you hold mutual funds, stocks, any type of security, and it's held individually. You have to get a 1099 that you then share with your accountant for your tax preparer. Maybe you do it yourself for you to report appropriately to the IRS. Well, many people this year got 1099s that were incomplete. What I mean by incomplete was you got a draft 1099. Many people got these. Usually it used to be that 1099s would be delivered by January 31st, right? So if you have money in the bank, all banks must report their 1099s by January 31st. If you have 1099s with an investment company, a Merrill Lynch, a Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, a UBS, an LPL, a Fidelity, whomever it is, they're obligated to get a 1099 out by the 15th of February. They got an extension. That was a legal extension that was offered up a few years ago. However, many people were issued 1099s on the 15th of February. Many of our own clients that said, draft copy, do not provide to accountant. Now, why did they get that? Well, here's the reason why. People want to buy mutual funds these days. They want to buy ETFs. They want to buy, sometimes you buy these things called alternative investments, something that invests in real estate or something that invests in something else that's not traditional. These companies have different types of requirements for reporting what their dividends were and what the tax liabilities were on them a little bit later than traditional investments. So, for instance, there are some funds, and then there's some just traditional funds. For instance, let's just say the XYZ mutual fund that invests in mid-cap stocks has a portion of their money in international stocks. Small portion, maybe even a tiny little sliver of a portion. That company from the foreign entity might report a little bit late. How about if you bought an international fund? International funds might report late. A real estate fund or a fund that has some real estate investments in it might report a little bit late. So the 1099s that were issued by many of these investment companies on the 15th of February will either say preliminary 1099 or draft 1099. Now, in reality, it's my understanding from attorneys, from accountants, that it's pretty close to right, but there's a few tweaks and adjustments that have to be made to make it official. Thus, many 1099s, a secondary or final 1099 plans to be issued either by March 1st, which was just a couple days ago, or by March 15th. Now, that's really not... people will say, oh, that's why do they have to do that? Well, first of all, you want to get it right. And the companies that are sending these out are obligated to get the reporting proper. I know many people love to get their taxes done early so that they can get their refund. But folks, you're better off hanging out, waiting at least until this weekend, March 4th. Here we are. You've probably got, hopefully you have a 1099 by now. Now go to your accountant. Now, the accountants don't like it too much. The accountants don't want to be bogged down in the month of March because month of March is their corporate tax return deadline for the 15th of March, and then April 15th is another deadline for us. But if you don't want to find yourself submitting all your stuff to your accountant and then realizing in the mail that, oh my God, I forgot to send him this new 1099, just hang out for a little bit. These guys know what they're doing. You know, people will say, well, I'm never going to work with this investment company again because they issue late 1099s. Folks, it's everybody. It happens to all of the brokerage companies. And you can ask any accountant and they'll tell you it's not just, you know, investment company A or investment company B or brokerage company A or brokerage company B. It's everybody. It all has to do with the investments that you own. And sometimes it is far beyond our control. So just be a little patient. And if you owe money, what's the rush anyways? That's the way I look at it. So, hey, when we last left, I was talking a bit about cash flow and how we can prepare ourselves to be smarter planners for the future and lining up what we need to do. I told you about the importance of the emergency fund, making sure that your emergency fund isn't in your investment account. It isn't part of your 401k. It isn't part of an annuity or a cash value of life insurance. That your emergency fund is money that sits in a bank account, readily liquid, very easy to access, and it equals somewhere between 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. And if you can't figure out what your monthly living expenses are, go ahead and grab your bank statement, take a look for the line that says total withdrawals. That'll show how much money you took out of your account that month. Find the past six month statements, and do the math. Just add up all six, divide by six, and you'll get an average number. And that's generally what it's going to be. So whatever that number is, multiply that times 3 or multiply it times 6 and find a number that's comfortable in between those two that say, this is what I need to keep in the bank. And I did say earlier that if you don't have that money in the bank but you're participating in your 401k, that I want you to stop participating in your 401k. Really, I do. I want you to build up your emergency fund first. And the other thing that I want you to do before you continue to pay into your 401k is get rid of your credit card debt. Get rid of your credit card debt. I told this to some person, and she comes to my office, and she says, Mark, I've saved $35,000. This was a client, a child of one of our clients, because generally we're not going to see people that invest $35,000 in our office, unless, of course, they are a relative of one of our existing clients. That's a rule in my office that we always hold true, that I don't care how little or how much money you have. If you are a related, direct relative of an existing one of our clients, we will always see you and talk to you. So this woman comes into me. She says she has $35,000 that she has in cash, and she'd like to set up an investment account. She thought that was a good thing. And I realized that she was making about $70,000 a year, had $35,000 saved. Nice job that she had done, saving this money. But she also had $16,000 in credit card debt. $16,000 she had accumulated. And she was paying somewhere around $400 or $500 a month to the credit card company on credit cards that were paying, it didn't matter. I mean, yeah, they were 18 or 19%, but I don't care if they were 7%. It didn't really matter to me. I said, well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to take $16,000 from the bank and pay off your credit card. And she says, but that would only leave me with $14,000 to invest. I said, that's right. And in fact, you're not even going to invest $14,000 because you're going to need at least 10 of it as an emergency fund. So you really only have about $4,000 to invest. And she was mad. She says, well, I thought you could make me more money. I said, I'm actually making some smart financial decisions with you and showing you how to think it through all the way. And that's, folks, you have to do this in steps, in stages that are appropriate to your financial life. Trying to hit home runs without taking care of all of the stuff that's around you first is going to be messy. Look, even the best home run hitters, take David Ortiz. David Ortiz, who used to be a great home run hitter for the Red Sox, what did he do more than anybody else on the team? He also struck out. So you're either going to win big or lose big with those. But you need a lot of those scrappy little players. All the singles and doubles, all the people that will hit into a fielder's choice just to advance the runner, all the sacrifice plays. Yeah, I know I'm talking baseball analogies because it is almost baseball season and spring training's going on down in Fort Myers, Florida. But that's what you need. And if you don't have those integral players in your on your bench, in your strategy, you are going to find yourself faced with having to make some tough decisions. Sometimes you'll be lucky. Yeah, sometimes you'll be lucky. I know Muggs is trying to be really lucky these days. He plays his scratch tickets. He buys his numbers. And so far, Muggs, I think he said this past week, I heard he said, so far this year he has made $14 playing the numbers. And he plays almost every day. But he's hoping, he says, but when I hit the big one, that's when I'm going to stop. Folks, when you hit the big one in the stock market, when you hit the big one in an investment, when you hit the big one by getting a raise or a bonus or a new promotion, trust me, you don't stop. You like that feeling. And once you have all the money you've ever imagined wanting, you know what you want? More. And then when you finally have more of what you've already accomplished, you know what you like now? Power. Power and influence. Take a look at all of our politicians in America, right? Starting from the top, from the president to our Congress to any CEO of any company. When you have as much money as they're all making, it's not about the paycheck anymore. It's about power and influence. That's what it's about. So ask yourself, is that what you're shooting for? First, let's try to build the emergency fund. Let's start really, really, really simply and small. Start with the emergency fund. Make sure you pay off your debt. I don't see any reason to accelerate your mortgage payments to pay down your mortgage debt. There's good debt and there's bad debt, folks. Credit card, bad debt. Personal loans, bad debt. Home equity loans, some would say that's okay debt. You used to be able to get a tax deduction for your home equity interest. Not anymore. It's 2018. New tax package doesn't allow for that. Mortgage interest, not bad debt because hopefully you're still holding on to a value on your home and hopefully your value of your home is going up. Auto loans, in many cases, bad debt. Because I think you know if you go to pull into a dealership, buy a car for $35,000, you drive it off, they'll buy it back from you for $28,000, maybe $26,000. That doesn't make any sense, does it? You know why they can only buy it back for that? Because if they gave you $35,000, the car dealership couldn't survive. When they come back to you and you go to buy a car, and the sales guy says, well, you know, you got this thing for $100 over invoice. That's all we're going to make on this thing is $100. Really. Take a look around at the real estate that sits on that lot. Take a look at the structures, the building, the inventory, everything else that has to be there. Do you think people are surviving, making a living on $100 profits? That the whole business, because remember, if that guy, the salesman says there, oh, you just got this at $100 over invoice. Do you think that salesman got the $100? No, he's got a piece of that because you got to pay remember the business manager he had to talk to and the business manager's manager. And how about the parts department and all these other places? How about the person that takes your check, that does all the paperwork, the business manager, the people that scrub the floor, all that? They're not making money on $100 on every car. Sorry, that does not work unless you're in the bulk business. And most of these car dealerships are not. So, you know, just understand, folks, just understand that working with money, dealing with bad debt and good debt is important for you to be able to distinguish. But in the last segment, I want to talk a little bit about what does it mean to be rich? I got this statistic that came out that talked about how much you have to make to be considered part of the wealthiest 10% of Americans. I also have the number on what it means to be amongst the 1% of Americans. It's a new report that just came out. It's issued by, it was put together by MFS Funds. They put together a by the numbers report that I get each and every week. And I've got a whole bunch of little statistics to share with you. I think you're really going to like this stuff. So stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have one thing on my mind.
wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. And before I forget, I wanted to thank Marion Gilman, my business partner, for being on the show last week. She filled in for me while I was on a family vacation with my kids and my wife in Disney World. Yes, that's right. At 51 years old, I am still a huge Disney fan. I've been to the Disney parks 41 times in my lifetime. And when my kids thought about how many days I've actually spent at a park, because I average generally between 5 and 10 days that I will spend at the Disney parks when I go, that means I've spent close to, or actually a little bit more than, 1 year of my entire life in a Disney park. So if you have any questions, you want to know anything about Disney World, yeah, I'm a pretty good expert about that stuff. I really thrive on understanding the Disney machine, how the whole park system works. I've been part of the Disney Leadership Institute. And it's, you know, because they're great tools for delivering a great level of service to our clients. And that's one of the things that we try to do so, so well at our office after 50 years. We're celebrating 50 years in April, actually next month, 50 years. It'll be the 50th anniversary of providing financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. What do our typical clients look like? They're not super wealthy. They're not people with $8, $10, $20, $40 million in net worths. In fact, our typical client is over the age of 55. They're either approaching retirement or they're in retirement. They're thinking to themselves, oh my God, I've got stuff scattered all over the place. I had a broker here, an insurance guy here, an investment guy here, maybe another investment guy there. I've got some money still at my company's 401k. Oh, wait, I've got a few other accounts with my old 401k. My wife, she has an account at the school department, or in a 403b, or in a 457. We've got several bank accounts. We've got savings bonds stuffed in our drawer. Oh, there was this annuity salesman that told me he would sell me something. And how about a real estate guy, too, who said he could get me that, too? Your stuff is all over the place. When it's time to start thinking about taking money from your account, you go, I don't know which account to even draw from. I'll ask Joe, my neighbor. No, you can't do that. This is serious stuff, guys. This is when the paycheck stops coming in. When the paycheck stops coming in, it's up to you to draw upon your resources to support your lifestyle for perhaps as many years as you've ever worked. That is scary. That is significant and is worth a conversation with someone that can help you put it all together and prepare you for 30 years of your life without a paycheck. You know, oftentimes when you work with a financial advisor, they'll recognize that there are several sources of income from which you can draw. It might be Social Security. It might be distributions that you have to take from your IRA accounts. It might be an annuity that you have. Perhaps you have part-time employment. Perhaps you'll have an inheritance. Perhaps you have rental income, all of those different things. But each of those items are taxed differently. So when you need a little bit of extra money, where's the best place to take it from? How will you choose? And how will you make those decisions on an ongoing basis? You know, on top of your regular savings, you're probably going to want to buy a new car periodically. Maybe you'll want to move into a second home. Perhaps you'll need to help care for an aging parent, or your kids will need help financially. How will you incorporate all of those elements into your financial life? Well, a certified financial planner, and certainly the certified financial planners at Friedman Financial, are ready to do that. We actually have the systems in place, and we've been doing it for almost 49 years and 11 months, because next month will be the 50th year. Now's the time to get serious about putting your financial planning work, putting your financial planning to work. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And I also want to remind you about our free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. You just go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. All you got to do is put in your email address. And if you want to leave me a little note, tell me about what you're looking for, or maybe something that you'd like me to write about, or perhaps you even want to schedule a free initial consultation. You can do all of that stuff right there in the comment box, and we will have you signed up for our free newsletter. More than 7,000 subscribers get it, and I promise, if you're not asking me to call you, I promise you're not going to get a call from me. We've been doing this far too long. When the time is right for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, we are here for you when the time is right for you. But I wanted to share with you some numbers, some interesting facts that oftentimes people lose sight of. You know, we live here in Massachusetts, and I got to be very honest, we are extraordinarily biased and territorial. We may not think so, but folks, we are a bit snobbier than most. We are a bit, we think we know it all. We think we have a better education system, thus we must be smarter than everybody else that's out there. But folks, the world exists far beyond the outskirts of Massachusetts and even New England. I always find it fascinating that the average, when you look at all of the Americans in the United States, less than 25% of them hold a passport. They've never left the country. And many of them have no desire to ever leave it. I'm not talking about move, like we were hoping Rosie O'Donnell would do. She said she was going to leave. You know, I love these people that use the platform to say, if Donald Trump gets elected, I'm moving out of this country. Well, it's put up or shut up time, right? I mean, why should I believe you the next time you come up and say something that this is what you're going to do? You're only going to do it when you win? You know, that's a problem. But that's another political bias, I guess. Anyways, so here's something that I thought was very interesting. You know, we talk about people that are on Medicaid or people that are trying to qualify for Medicaid so that they impoverish themselves. Let's be sure we're clear about what Medicare and Medicaid is. Medicare is health insurance that you get through our government when you turn age 65. Medicaid is welfare. And I think if they just called it Medicare and welfare, it would be a lot better understood because many people confuse Medicare and Medicaid. Medicaid means you do not have adequate resources to support yourself and you need to be a ward of the state. The state needs to take care of you. Well, I thought this was an interesting fact. And no wonder why California is such a liberal state. That is because 25% of California's residents are on the Medicaid program. According to a report that comes out of, this was done by Mass Financial Advisors, it's called By the Numbers, dated February 12, 2018, 25%, one in four Californians have put themselves in a position where they are impoverished so that the government is responsible for caring for them. That is a significant number. And I'm not even talking about the illegal immigrants that are in California. These are legal American citizens. 25% of California residents receive their health insurance through Medicare. But wait, they don't have the highest percentage. In New Mexico, 31% of all residents receive welfare payments as Medicaid. And in West Virginia, 26% receive it. I don't know what the percentage is here in Massachusetts, but I assure you it's nothing near that kind of a number. So when we try to think to ourselves in Massachusetts that we understand what's going on in the rest of the world, imagine a place where one in four people that you ran into here in Massachusetts, just imagine this, one in four people didn't make enough money, didn't have enough income or assets, and instead they would have to qualify for state benefits for everything. That's insane. How about this? I talked to you about what do you have to make? What is your household or tax return have to be over to be considered amongst the top 10% in America? So if you file a joint tax return, You look at your 1040, that's what it's called, your schedule 1040, and you're probably doing your taxes right now. You're preparing them, thinking about getting them together. Take a look at page one of your tax return, your 2017 tax return. Go all the way down to the very bottom right corner. That number in the bottom right is what's called your adjusted gross income. And what that represents, your adjusted gross income, is the, let's say you make $100,000 a year. But let's say you put 10% of your money into your 401k plan. So your income that gets shown up on your tax return is only $90,000, remember? Because 10% of it, that $10,000, was put away pre-tax. But maybe you have other sources of income. Maybe it's dividends, interest, rental income, Social Security, annuity payments, whatever it might be. When you add up all of those things and you drop down to the very bottom right-hand corner, to be considered amongst the top 10% households in America, your income, your adjusted gross income, would have to be more than, get this, $138,000. So if you're making more than if you're showing $138,000 in adjusted gross income, now that could be a married couple. This is not individuals. This is a married couple. If you show more than 138, take a look at that number on the bottom of your tax return. If that number is higher than 138, congratulations, you're among the top 10% of earners in all of America. So would that be considered middle class? If you're in the top 10%, should 138 be considered middle class? What should middle class really be? Well, let me put this into perspective for you. Okay, so what is the top 1%? What's the top 1%? So you got 138 at the top 10%. You make more than one. If you show on the bottom of your tax return on the adjusted gross income line $138,000 or more, this was based upon 2015 tax data. So just put that all into perspective. So the number's slightly higher. So 138, you're considered part of the top 10%. If you were part of the, where's the other number that I'm looking for? I know I saw it here. I'm going to get to the 1% number in a minute, but let me give you some more statistics around this. This says the top 10% of U.S. taxpayers, based upon 2015 tax data, reported adjusted gross income of at least $138,000. They received 47%. The top 10% received 47% of all of the income reported to the government. The top 10% shows 47% of all of the income reported to the government, and they paid 71% of all of the federal taxes due. Isn't that amazing? I'm trying to find that 1% number. I know I saw it here. Here it is. To be in the 1% number, U.S. taxpayers would have to have an adjusted gross income of at least $481,000 to be in the top 1%. Get this. A minimum salary for Major League Baseball players, we're coming into baseball season, minimum salary. If you make the team, the minimum salary that they will pay you is $545,000. That's minimum just for making the team. A couple other quick things. Get this. Here's something that's of interest to many people. 50% of the U.S. population lives in 143 counties in the United States. How many counties are there in the country? 3,142. So 50% of the population lives in 143 counties, which represents 4.6% of the total counties in America. Isn't that amazing? Another quick one here is average hourly wage paid to workers in the private sector, $26.74. Average income for those working is about $53,000 a year. That's up 2.9%. And that's enough statistics for today, I think. All right, we're going to wrap things up. We've got to get out of here. I want to thank everyone for being part of our Sunday, listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. We got a couple other things for you before we run out of here. I want to remind you again, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation at our office, really feel free to do so. Phone number 978-531-8108. We are open for business and scheduling new appointments right now. We were a little backed up in December and January, but we are moving towards the spring season, and that's always a great time to try to do some financial house cleaning, getting your financial house in order, and we are here to help you. And of course, if you want to schedule some, if you want to sign up for our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday, it is called Planning Pointers. You can get it in your inbox every Friday at 10:30 a.m. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your email address. Let us know how you heard about us. We'll get you signed up for this upcoming Friday's newsletter. You'll join 7,000 others that get it each and every Friday morning. And then I'll be back again next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.